Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Atticus Rainmaker call for transactional attorneys. And we're going to be talking about social media marketing. And I know that if you're like most of us, I'm sure you're a little confused about social media marketing and whether it's a viable marketing strategy for you or not. And as a rainmaker, what we're going to tell you is that word-of-mouth referral marketing activity is still your best channel, your best avenue to find new clients. But even if that's true, which it is true, can we afford to ignore some of these other marketing channels that are coming along, these new marketing opportunities that come along, like social media marketing? And the answer is obviously no. We have to continue to implement the word-of-mouth the fundamentals, like knowing who our targeted referral sources are, our targeted clients, and getting deeper into that, understanding their demographics and their psychographics, understanding that, truly understanding that referral source and client. And we still have to continue to develop our scripts and our conversations that educate our referral sources, that build trust with them, that build rapport. And we still have to stay in contact with our network at least 3 times per week, utilizing activities that are consistent with your personal hobbies, your interest, those sort of things. And we obviously still need to be developing our 21 assets and 5 habits. But at the same time, we have to keep looking out on the edge. And just like we had to do with our websites, and we had to look at eventually all of us have gotten our websites up, and now we're looking at the basics. Do we have just a brochure site, or we're going to move it up to internet marketing? With all of that, we still have to do some of the examination that comes along with these new marketing opportunities. And let me take a minute to introduce Sean McNallis, who's on the call with us. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Mark. Hi, everyone.
And I think that if you don't know by now, Sean is, we're always lucky to have Sean on these calls with us. She's one of the top coaches in the country and grapples with these things in the field on a regular basis. So as you're working through this, she's working a number of her clients through these issues. So on this call, I'd like you to come away with 3 things. Number one, and you might write these down, the understanding of what social media marketing is. We should be able to leave this call and at least be able to explain it and know what it is. We should understand the upsides and the downsides of this marketing channel. And whether, number three, whether we're willing to experiment with it right now. And when I say experiment, beyond just having a profile, are we willing to jump into it at some level? So, again, this is not going to be one of our traditional marketing assets that we would work on, but I think that's important that Sean and I engage in this conversation with you along the way. And I want to also put something in your mind as we look at these marketing opportunities, and this you could almost address with any marketing opportunity that we suggest or others suggest, is the bottom line comes down to this. Why should I spend any of my hard-earned money or my precious time working on this marketing opportunity? And so at the end of this call, if you don't see reasons to do this, or at the end of your research, if you're not there yet, don't engage in it. It's not time for you to do that. And so Sean and I will be looking at some of these things as we go along. So, Sean, let me jump right in and ask you a question.
Okay.
If you would describe sort of just a bottom-line description of social media marketing and someone was trying to understand what it is, how would you do that?
You know, one of the best analogies I've heard so far on this topic is actually the name of a book. And I have purchased this book, though I haven't completed it. And the book is called Social Media Marketing is a Cocktail Party. And what they propose is that there is this online cocktail party going on 24/7. And people are at this party having different conversations. And one of the points that they make is, if you know how to behave at a cocktail party, a normal cocktail party that you would attend in person, then you probably, if you could apply those same rules, of etiquette and courtesy and engagement and appropriateness. If you know how to behave at a regular cocktail party, you probably know how to interact on a social media networking site, because all the rules apply. We're all just human beings communicating with one another, basically. And if you know how to, you know, interact at a cocktail party, then you know how to interact on a social media site. So, but there are some tips that you can take away from this.
Mm-hmm. Sean, can I just repeat back and make sure I'm captured? Because I want to. So it's an electronic. It's like an electronic cocktail party. The cocktail parties are going in different communities all the time on the internet. It's a question of which ones we connect to. And like a cocktail party, I'm assuming there's serious conversations going on in some of these communities. There's lighthearted conversations. There's jokes going on. And we are, if we understand the dynamics of what's happening at the party or the community to tap into, we can tap into any level of these conversations.
You can. And the thing to keep in mind, however, that is a little bit just slightly more ominous than a normal cocktail party, is that you're basically, when you're chatting online and building relationships online, it's the equivalent of going to a cocktail party where there is a tape recorder playing at all times. Because the point that some people want to make about forming and building relationships and engaging online is everything you do, everything you say online is being recorded, and it's all traceable. So just keep that in mind, that as you engage with people online, when you're representing yourself, either personally or professionally, it's all researchable. People can research that. They can look at conversational threads that you may be having in certain contexts. So while it can be very valuable in many different ways, it's all being recorded. So we just keep that in mind.
It's a good way to think about it for a firm policy, too. And if I was educating some of my younger attorneys, in the firm, and because more than likely some of the younger attorneys in the firms are doing it quite naturally, even the paralegals. Now they may not be jumping into, they may know the technology, and they may not be jumping into communities that we would want them to right now. They have the edge that they can do that. But I think what
they have the technological edge, but they don't necessarily have the
social
judgment,
right.
The marketing savvy. And they may not be thinking long term. They may not be thinking, just like a person that goes to a cocktail party and drinks a little too much and says things that they later regret, that can happen online also. You know, pursuing jokes online, you know, with an email that ties you back to your firm or somehow ties you to the firm's website, commenting on cases, commenting on people. There's things, many, many things to be careful of, and there's ethics issues. A lot of social media sites allow others to comment on you, become a fan of yours, be a friend of yours, comment on your wall, say things that are visible, that all people can see, that are public lines of communication, and this opens the door to testimonials. And there's lots of controversy going on right now as to whether or not testimonials in favor of an attorney, you know, or comments in favor of an attorney or their work constitute a testimonial. This is being explored really heavily right now on the state level in many states. And the state laws have not yet caught up to where the technology is. You know, testimonials become an ethics problem, and then you have to consider, well, if it's that easy for somebody to say something really positive about you, it's just as easy for somebody to say something negative about you. And, you know, whether or not you're a good lawyer depends on a couple of things, and a lot of it could be just the client's perception. You know, you could take a case to court, for example, and you could win or you could lose. The attorney who won the case, their client might post what a great lawyer they are. The attorney that loses, their client might post that they're not a great lawyer. But really, the case could be won on the the facts, the strength of the case. And, you know, attorney B that lost could have been just as fine a lawyer. And, you know, we could talk about client selection and you know, things like that. But, you know, it really opens up an avenue for people to be commenting in a very public way.
Well,
that
Sean,
that's very dicey.
Sean, what I'd like to do is I just want to return to this and make sure we're all capturing that particular part of the description of social media networking. It's a cocktail party. There are different cocktail parties going on. If we're good marketers and we really got into social media marketing and we had the technical expertise, we could probably figure out the better communities to get into. For example, a community of our peers of attorneys or attorneys that are focusing on estate planning or attorneys that are focusing on environmental law, whatever it is, we could get into our peers, we could get into comment groups, those sort of things, and they may be beneficial. But bottom line, we all have to remember that it is like being at a cocktail party where someone's recording everything we say, so that we have to make sure that we don't do anything to embarrass or disturb our brand, that we say things that forward our brand, and that we don't say anything that we don't want to see come up later on.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Good.
And if I could say something else, one of the advantages from a marketing standpoint, now that I've said some of the disadvantages, one of the advantages from a marketing standpoint of something like LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter is that they give you another avenue to initiate relationships with people that perhaps you haven't seen for a long time and want to rekindle a relationship with. That's a nice way to do it. And they also give you an avenue to approach people and initiate brand new relationships with people that are perhaps in your same field. They might be leading-edge professionals in your field. You might go visit their page, or you might follow them on Twitter, and you could introduce yourself. So they are an opportunity to introduce yourself to people without using a third party necessarily. But what I would say about this is to build real, what we call know, like, and trust and relationship, and you're really going to have to continue the relationship in outside of social media networking. If you're going to be approaching people and meeting new potential referral sources online, and I do think it's good for that, you're going to have to follow up these relationships with telephone calls, meetings, and so forth, to actually get a grasp of who that person is and to communicate how much you can be trusted and what your expertise is. In the end, it comes back to building real relationships. Usually has to happen in real time and face-to-face. But as a way of initiating, this is an intriguing new way of going about that part of the game.
So it's, again, like the cocktail party. I might meet someone. If I pick the right party to go to, I might start a dialogue. 99% probability I won't get a client right there at that cocktail party.
But you've made a connection.
Right. I've opened the dialogue, and I can continue that dialogue. And I think what you're saying is eventually the natural course of order from a marketing perspective is I'm going to have a phone call or face-to-face meeting to bring this to the next level when the dialogue opens up to something.
Yeah, because I don't think people that you initiate a relationship with online, even though they can go and visit your profile, even visit your website, I don't think most of them, if they're other attorneys, are going to be comfortable using you as a strong referral source until they know if they can really trust you. Now, maybe a brand new attorney that does that, you know, is maybe a little freer about giving out referrals, a little less cautious about, you know, who he or she recommends. Maybe they're comfortable, you know, with a strictly virtual relationship sending people to you. But most people, and the more experienced you are going to want the traditional route of getting to know you as a person, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I want to remind everyone on our call, we've sent you a CD this month that is Nora Bergman from Atticus going into a detailed conversation about this. And Nora also talks about the distinction between Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Avvo. And what also, if you go to the Atticus website to those recorded calls, there's download information on how to some of the facets of each one of these and how to get connected to each one of these. So that's already available to you, and I don't want to repeat necessarily what is all the distinction. We can talk a little bit about them between Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and all of those things, because you've got the CD, and if you have questions on that, we can address that later. Sean, let me ask you another question.
Mm-hmm.
From your experience, will this marketing channel produce clients? And I think that's all we really want to know. If I engage and spent my time and money working on this, am I going to get clients on it?
You know, and I would say it's going to, the more you use it, the more the potential is there. It's first going to, if you use it correctly, you should be targeting referral sources, not clients. I mean, Facebook and some of the other sites have the ability to let you target specific audiences and actually put ads on Facebook. Now, these would be typical ethically restricted and constrained ads. But you could place ads, so it's another, you know, advertising channel. That's interesting. But most of the initiating you're going to be doing on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter is going to be, because it's most ethical, initiating relationships with potential referral sources who are out there in the virtual world, getting to know them, and then hopefully getting referrals from them. There's lots of controversy over attorneys approaching people that directly that are potential clients right now. You know, that's an ethical violation. If a personal injury attorney, for example, were to post something in response to somebody that says they've just experienced a car accident, you know, that's considered solicitation. So directly soliciting clients is not ethical at this point. Offering helpful information can come right up to the point of being a solicitation, but a lot of attorneys are trying to offer helpful information, but they have to be very, very careful in their interactions online to make sure that they're not soliciting or giving actual legal advice, which can then later come back and bite them. So it's tricky business to be actually interacting with potential clients. Much, much safer to be interacting with potential referral sources ethically.
So, Sean, let me just address this question again, whether it's producing clients, and I'm going to make a statement, and you tell me if you would agree with it or not.
Okay.
Is that the vast majority of attorneys are out there are using either LinkedIn or Facebook in almost a reactive sort of mode right now. Someone, a friend, for example, I join LinkedIn and it says, you know, send it to your friends, and I send it to you, Sean, and you join it. But you joined it because I asked you to join. You weren't actively seeking it out. And so I'm going to assert that the vast majority of them are right now in a reactive mode, and they're joining because that's where their friend asked them to join, and they're just curious about it. And then,
I would say that's generationally driven. The older you are, the less quickly you, if I can make a giant generalization, the less quickly you probably have embraced this form of marketing. The younger you are, you know, if you went through college and law school having a Facebook page and being on LinkedIn, you're probably embracing it at a much more rapid rate.
Okay, and probably most of the people on this call, not all of them, but I would say that most of them are in between 45 and 65 on this call,
mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't have grown up with that
right.
Thing. Now, I'm sure there's people on this call that are younger than that, but for the most part, we'll find that within the Rainmakers. And so we're mostly operating in a reactive mode, and then we may venture in and set up our profiles, those sort of things, and
mm-hmm.
be inundated in some cases in Facebook with high school friends we didn't really want to talk to in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're in that erect mode, and when we are, the attorneys at the percentage, the small percentage of them are using it more now, at least from my experience, and you correct me, are increasing the number of website hits they're getting, people either from their past or people that they're connected to in their communities. At the very least, they're increasing the activity to their website.
And in fact, the smart thing to do is if you're going to have a profile of yourself, say on Facebook or LinkedIn, definitely provide a link to your website so that people can go. I mean, that's a good way to generate more hits.
And so, today, like the early stages of websites and internet marketing, and probably 8-10 years ago, There's not a lot of people that would stand up and say, I'm getting a dramatic number of clients, or I'm getting a large number of clients at all from my LinkedIn, Facebook profiles or any of those other profiles. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. I mean, people are experiencing building their networks. You know, Facebook and some of these other sites have a great visual way of being able to organize all of your all of your communities, your work communities, your personal and family communities, even with pictures. I mean, visually, to have a visual of your top 20 network, if they're all on there, with pictures and everything, to me that's a great form of organizing and managing your network. But it's not necessarily leading to immediately new clients coming in the door.
And this may pay off in the long run, especially if you build networks and you really use it. But today, from our experience, Atticus's experience, I'm going to say this statement, and then Sean will correct me if I'm wrong. We're not seeing a lot of people get we're not seeing a small number of attorneys get a good number of clients from it yet. At least that's not being reported to us.
Right now, it's a hot trend, and there's a lot of hype about it because news shows and shows on television are talking about and promoting various different forms of social media networking. So there's a lot of hype, and whenever there's a lot of hype about something and it's the hot new thing, there's a lot of interest generated in it. I think that interest is driving people to different social media sites. But the reality is I don't see a lot of new clients coming out of it directly.
Yeah.
And I do think it's somewhere you want to be present out there for the long haul, but don't panic right now if you're not on LinkedIn, because you're probably not missing out on actual new clients.
Well, and I'm going to give everyone on this call sort of the litmus test at the towards the end of this call about whether you should be pursuing this or not.
Okay.
But let me continue the conversation. So I assume that there's no way that anyone that you would argue that this should be done in lieu of face-to-face marketing. Obviously, that's...
I operate on something called the hierarchy of effectiveness, and we've talked about this, and I've written about this. And the hierarchy of effectiveness is, you know, what behaviors yield the best results when it comes to marketing. And face-to-face contact is king. I mean, it is at the top of the hierarchy. And, you know, down from that, there's telephone, because telephone still continues a human element. You know, and you can express your personality, and people get to see the nuances of your personality, and you get to see theirs. Nothing replaces face-to-face contact and hearing a person's voice and seeing a person operate. Everything, email, blogging, everything from there on down, you know, there's layers in between you and the actual person. So to me, to actually develop a relationship, you need to get back to the top of the hierarchy, which is face-to-face contact, and be practicing that as much as possible. That's irreplaceable.
All right, and so let's go with give people a sense of the upsides and downsides of this marketing channel. And if you're listening to this call and you have a pen or paper handy, you might want to capture some of the upsides and downsides of this. Sean, can you dig into any of the upsides and downsides?
Yeah.
I think we've addressed a lot of them, but maybe you could just highlight them.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the idea, because that there is this cocktail party going on 24/7 online that you can tap into as much as you want to or as little as you want to, that's an exciting new option. I like thinking of it as a cocktail party. But by the same token, if you think about a cocktail party that you might go to, say, over the holidays, they're unpredictable in the kind of results. You don't know who's there. You don't know what you're going to talk about, who you're going to engage with. You might be good at working the room and talking to a lot of people, or you might get trapped in the corner by the cheese dip and only talk to one guy, and it leads nowhere. So it's got all the unpredictability of a party, but all the exciting opportunities of a party also. Because, and this is the main one for me, you have the opportunity to initiate with people without that third-party introduction. It's a platform to get to know people, initiate a relationship, to see where then you might take it. Just like at a party, you would meet somebody, but then you'd meet them for lunch later on and really get to know them, and you'd have, you know, phone calls with them, and you'd invite them here or there. So as an exciting new option for initiating with people, that's great. I like that it gives you a visual and it allows you to manage your networks very clearly. I mean, it's got some aspects of contact management software in which you can click on somebody's, you know, picture or name that shows up in your network, and you can be instantly in communication with them or see their details. So, and they have very strong engines, search engines on these sites that suggest to you other people that you might want to befriend or become a fan of. And it gives you the opportunity, if you post something either on Twitter or on a Facebook page or on LinkedIn, that can be immediately broadcast to all the people that are following you. So that's there's the speed and the ease of communication for short, small things. I personally am not a big fan of the whole updating people constantly on what your daily activities are. To me, that's fairly meaningless and a giant waste of time. But if you, what a lot of lawyers are doing, especially on Twitter, is they're posting questions that they have to whatever legal community they might be part of, and the sort of leaders in their field that they're following, and you know they're developing it as a legal resource. Now, a lot of people can use email because they have their own informal network at the same time, but this is sort of like, you know, your listserv on steroids, if you will. So people are using it that way, and that's another upside. So, you know, the ability to develop, manage, and initiate relationships, those would be upsides for me.
And downsides,
everything.
Well, and by the okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Most things, most conversations you're having, you know, now we're back to the cocktail party that with a recorder in the corner. And you have to be really careful about what you and your employees are saying that's traceable back to you or reflects poorly on the brand. So you have to be, I think, even more careful than you would be in person at a cocktail party because, you know, you're writing these things out and these things can be retrieved. These things can be received as more offensive than you realize or in a different way that you realize. You know, the same problems you have with email, but especially if something like, you know, Twitter forces you to condense a message down to 140 characters, and that's, you know, that forces a certain terseness on you, and if you don't know how to use the language well, you know, you may come across differently than how you anticipate. So that's a downside. People being able to broadcast how good you are or how bad you are, all kinds of ethical issues about that, reputation issues abound in that area. I wouldn't recommend any of you encouraging people to say positive things about you on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, any of that. I mean, we all want positive feedback, but it could come back to bite you as if you were encouraging a testimonial. The laws are still being bandied about, as we said, lots of indecisiveness there. But when in doubt, follow your ethics guidelines as you would for other forms of communication, and you'll probably be okay.
One of the other downsides, I would say, Sean, is that for a lot of us, it's new technology, and it means that it's a learning curve. It means there's time involved in it. The downside may be additional emails to deal with that are not necessarily marketing-oriented, you know, the high school friend that connects with you or college friend that connects with you that you didn't necessarily want to hear from, but now you have to respond from in an email, and you're already overwhelmed with the emails you have. So those are possible downsides, too, correct?
To me, it can be something, especially like Twitter and even Facebook, where it went, because if somebody communicates with you through Facebook, you'll get an email. To me, it will really up the amount of emails that you're dealing with. And if you already can't cope with the amount of email you're getting, I don't recommend getting into all of this, because it just will, unless your potential clients and potential referral sources are using these sites, loving these sites, and encouraging you to be on there, I wouldn't be, but you are unable to manage the existing emails that you have, you know, I wouldn't go on these sites unless you think you can handle it and your market is there. That would be one reason I would want you to be there. but not if you can't respond to all of the inquiries that you might get or the little conversational threads that you may become part of.
Sean, let me ask you another question. If I am going to do this, is one better than the other? Facebook better than LinkedIn? LinkedIn better than something else? And
Facebook's coming on strong, and if you become part of Facebook, opt to have a professional profile that's open to everyone and perhaps a personal profile that is not, in case you want to use your personal profile to communicate with family and show pictures of family and friends and things like that. LinkedIn is historically the more professional one, and a lot of people are on LinkedIn, even whether they know it or not. And so LinkedIn has a little bit of history behind it, and a lot of professionals other than lawyers also are on LinkedIn. Avvo is coming on strong, and Avvo creates a profile for you, especially in the state of Florida. Many of you will already have a profile by default on Avvo, which may say the most minimal things about you, and you can't do anything about it unless you claim the profile. Then you can actually get in, be part of it, edit it, and update it. But Avvo's coming on very strong, and it can really boost your online visibility. And they also have the ability to, they're publishing these online legal guides, and you can become an Avvo contributor and be known more for your credibility in contributing to their online legal guides, which is nice. Now,
for those that want more distinctions about Avvo or LinkedIn or Facebook, in addition to the CD we sent you, if you go on to the Atticus website and you look up social media marketing, there's a document that describes the differences and how you can get connected. I know I said that before, but I want to remind you, because we're not going to dig into each one of the programs, the software, on this call.
Mark, I just want to say something about building a personal brand real fast. You have time for that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the past, when we have a talk, when we discuss branding, it's always in a professional context, and it's always the firm has a brand. Well, in the future, branding comes down more to individual brands or personal brands, and attorneys, especially those younger that are starting out, will brand themselves as individuals, and they'll carry that brand from firm to firm to firm as they move around. So this has never been possible before. I mean, it was possible in the past to have an individual reputation, but not a brand. So I just wanted to point that out.
And I know that if, you know, I'd ask the question how much time is involved, but I assume that depends on, you know, if I'm under 30, it's probably a lot less time involved getting involved in this and doing any one of these. And if I'm over 30, 35, I probably it's going to be more time-consuming for me to set up my profile,
right,
actively look at it, actively engage in dialogue with some of the different communities. But I'm curious, is this something that a virtual marketing assistant, if I chose to do this, could a virtual marketing assistant help me? And if so, how?
They could set up your profile page, which would, you know, be a great savings in time, and they might be able to help you monitor your emails as well. So, yes, they could help you.
And so they could sort through the emails and respond, to help you, tell you to respond to this one, respond to that one, don't respond
mm-hmm.
to this one,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing?
Yeah, in fact, there is going to be in the future the position of a virtual marketing officer or a virtual marketing partner in firms in the future. This is what's been predicted for law firms, that virtual marketing at some point will become so important that you will want somebody that's really in charge of this and protecting the brand, protecting what is said online, setting policies about what employees and associates say online about the firm. It will become increasingly more and more popular. And there's even some PR firms out there that are developing the expertise to set you up with specialized profiles on LinkedIn and Facebook and they, you know, recommend the kind of picture you should put up and whether or not you should allow friends or just have fans, the kinds of things you should say about yourself, how much of your personal life to reveal in as you build your personal brand, and how to keep yourself tied into your professional brand as well.
Shawna, it used to be said that, not used to, it still is, and when we're talking to a lot of rainmakers, what I would tell them when I look at the website and internet is at the very minimum, we have to have a brochure website, and there's no getting around that anymore.
Right.
What we want you to do is engage in intermittent marketing over time. Start to optimize your pages, start to make sure you have electronic newsletters that generate activity on your website, measure the number of hits you're getting, those sort of things. Which is very, very important to do if we're going to, it's almost indispensable today. From that perspective, and we've been saying that for years, and I think people are there now, but when we look at these sort of social media networking, and we are going to do, if we are going to do something, what's the minimum standard? What do we need to do at a minimum?
You know, it's tricky because I would basically say, you know, having a profile on these pages is a great thing to do. And it is a great thing to do. There's one downside to it, though. If you just have a profile and you're not active and you're not networking with people and you're not working your profile page, because especially a site like Facebook has the opportunity to say how many friends you're connected with, or how many fans you might have. If you're not working these profiles, you're going to have a profile up there that shows that you have no fans or no friends. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost better not to be on there unless you have at least some commitment to working it, because you don't want to be up there and then show that you have no network whatsoever. To me, that's almost worse than not having a presence at all. So to me, if you're going to go into it, you need to be committed enough to have a substantial showing of connections. Otherwise, it looks worse. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So you're saying, you know, today, I wouldn't, if, as a practitioner, I wouldn't be in great danger if I didn't have a profile. If I did, it's not a terrible thing to do, but if you are going to do it, you really need to start engaging it a little bit more so that it is, if someone is visiting you, they can see that your profile is being developed, those sort of things.
And that it's active and that you have a strong, large, active network. Because it's kind of a looking, it looks bad if you're on Facebook and it shows you have two friends or three friends. You know, and the way you get these friends is you send out friend requests. And you can also send out requests for somebody to be a fan. And if you, and on Twitter, you would have a following. So if you just have your profile and you have no following, it's almost worse than not having one at all.
So if I had a profile, can I take it off for now if I'm not going to work it?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. So here's the, I told, one of the things I said earlier in this call is that I'd give you a litmus test to sort of, and decide whether this is something that you should be pursuing or not, the social media or networking or marketing avenues. And Sean's given you a lot of information. But here's our take on it, that if you currently have a website and you're not staying active with the website, meaning you're not really working on it with a, you've got a marketing strategy, internet marketing strategy, but you're not implementing it. You've got a referral marketing strategy, but you're not implementing it. You're overwhelmed. If you've got emails and marketing emails that you can't get to because you're overwhelmed, then the answer is no. We shouldn't be doing this right now. It's one more thing that will overwhelm you. It's one more thing that will get in, give you one more thing to do that you don't need to do. But if you're ahead of the curve and you're doing well and you're staying on top of your website, you're starting to get into internet marketing with your website, and you're staying on top of that, or if you have a blog and you're actually posting the blogs, making posts on the blogs, and you're staying engaged there, then you're probably someone this is a good one to engage in because it sounds like you're going to make the time to do it. So I want to be clear. We're saying that this is an interesting marketing avenue, and it's got potential. We're not sure of the potential yet, but it was sort of like web pages maybe 10 years ago. No one was really sure then either. It could go either way with this. It could be a passing fad, or it may be something that turns out to be very good. What we're asserting right now as a rainmaker is that you're not in enormous danger if you didn't take action today, and that we have to keep an eye on it, see where it's going, and then start building your network if it's going to be important. But again, we have to be on top of our other stuff before we engage in this, because it's just going to be one more thing to do. Sean, would you disagree with that?
I would not disagree, and I would say the thing that dictates whether or not it's going to be a growth area for you is if your clients and referral sources are using this kind of media, then you need to be more interested. If your potential clients and potential referral sources are not necessarily using it, then you don't have to be as worried.
And, you know, if you're under 35 on this, and I'm just using that sort of as a gauge, you're under 30, you're probably going to be engaging in this quite naturally. And there's nothing wrong with that. Your networks are going to be quite strong. The only thing we would want you to bring away from this call, besides all of the other things we've talked about, is be careful of what you say. And remember, you're walking around a cocktail party being recorded. With that, what I'd like to do is open it up to questions. And there's two things I'd like to look at from a questioning perspective. Number one, if you're someone that's using LinkedIn, Facebook, or Avvo, or one of these social media avenues, and you're having success with it, we'd like to hear from you and hear what's working for you. Or if you're someone that just has a question about anything we discussed or about your entree to social media networking, just jump on the call. And all you have to do is press *6 to be heard. Press *6 and just say your name and city.
Hey, Mark?
Yeah.
Mark, this is Jim Perricone from New York.
Hey, Jim.
I got a question about LinkedIn. All the people who've gotten in touch with me, nearly all of them are people I already know. So I've always say, you know, yes, so I want to be linked in with them. But I kind of scratch my head and say, well, I'm already linked with them without having LinkedIn doing it. Am I supposed to be checking out who some of their contacts are to see, you know, if those are the people? Because I've had very few people who I don't know, and those that have done so, I can't figure out why they want to be linked with me, to tell you the truth.
Some people are just going for the numbers. Some people just want to have the showing of a large following or a large network. So keep that in mind. Some people are just looking for a lot of numbers.
But the way, how do I actually enlarge my network? By looking to see those who want to link up with me, and then where it says, you know, see how many contacts or whatever it is it says on there, you know, see who they're linked to. Is that what you then start going through those people to see if you want to be linked to any of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Jim, for you, if you're going to keep your profile, I think what Sean's coaching on this is to do exactly that, is to work with your virtual marketing assistant, identify there's lots of people you're already connected to through your database and other things, and then start a strategy to get them linked in as well, because you get to use both avenues to stay connected, and your community looks bigger and stronger and healthier, and you look like a guy to turn to when something goes there.
I see. Jessica, I think, is on this call at this time, and she had, in her view, and I've agreed with her, LinkedIn is the one for us to do if we're going to do it. At the same time, I'm mindful of what, Mark, your caveat of a minute ago, if you're not going to actively pursue it, then, and if you're struggling to keep up with all your existing marketing things, we're still a little behind the eight ball with regular new posts to our blog. Mm-hmm. And our big goal for this fall is to revise and freshen up the pages of our website. So that has led me to think that maybe we should just hold off for, you know, 3, 4, 5 months or so getting involved in LinkedIn if we're...
And when you do, you can link people back to, you know, you can post on your Facebook page, you know, click here to see my newly redesigned website. You know, use your Facebook to push and promote those other aspects.
So
and you can post links on to your blog as well.
So you're saying if Jim takes his profile down for now... Then works on his website. Later on, if he chooses to engage his profile, he can go out to his community and say, listen, I just wanted to let you know I've just updated the website. I'm also clicking in and introducing new people to the profile. I wanted to invite you in, those sort of things. He could set a campaign for it.
He could. Now, what some people are doing is they're setting up Facebook Friday. And now you don't have Facebook, but you could do the same thing. And that's take 1 hour on a specific day of the week, and you just work like crazy on your Facebook, even with Jessica by your side, saying, you know, let's identify all these people and send them contact requests. And
But we did not pick Facebook. We picked LinkedIn.
It's
the one that we're going to do, not Facebook.
And that, I think, for you is a smart idea.
Yeah.
But you could just choose to work on it 1 hour a week with her help if you wanted to keep it in place while you worked on these other things.
I see. Okay. Well, that's
what I like Jim is saying, and I'm saying this for everyone else as well, Jim. I repeat these things only so everybody else gets it as well, is that that what's going to be really valuable is to have a LinkedIn, if he chooses, which Jim is, LinkedIn or Facebook for anyone else, is to have a strategy of how you're going to approach it. So Sean started to outline that for us, is that we might have something to introduce, a new partner, the website, something to link them into electronically link them to the website and do a push for new contacts. And just don't let I think one of the strategies, Sean, saying is don't let our profile just be idle.
If we're not
going to do anything, let's bring it down.
Right.
Now, I'd like to hear if someone has something counter to that and they've heard differently or seen differently. Jim, thank you for that question.
You bet.
Thanks, Jim.
So if you're using LinkedIn, Facebook, or any of the others, and it's being successful for you, if you would press *6 and just talk to us a little bit about that, or you have a counter argument to anything we've talked about, or you have a question, press *6. Going once, going twice. So if you are talking, we're not hearing you. That means you may even be muted on your own phone. And going 3 times. So I'm not hearing, Sean and I aren't hearing any additional questions on that.
Mark, I have something I'd like to throw out.
Okay.
If you are considering creating a virtual marketing or social media networking policy for your firm, I can direct you to a website that has done an amazingly comprehensive sort of template for creating one of these adding to your policies and procedures manual as it becomes necessary on this topic. So if you want to send me an email at sean@atticusonline.com, I will send you that link and you could look at this these sample policies.
And with that, what we want to do on this call is to do a couple of things. Number one, remind you that always our primary focus is the referral marketing, word-of-mouth marketing, and that there are new avenues like this that will come along all the time. This one's very hot right now, and we want to explore it. We want to talk about it. We want to see what other people are doing to see if it's something that we should employ, that each of us on this call should employ or not employ, and that we at least have a basic understanding of what social media marketing is, that we understand the upsides and the downsides, and we've got a good sense of whether we're ready to experiment with it or not. And I think that's what we want to accomplish on this particular call. With that, I want to remind you that our next call and our next month is going to focus on holiday marketing. Now, I know it's only October that we start focusing on holiday marketing, but it's the time to start putting everything together. And we do that to keep reminding us of all of the opportunities that from a referral marketing opportunity that come along during the holidays. So we're going to put some top-of-mind awareness on holiday marketing and get things rolling in October. It's very important to get that going early. With that, I want to thank Jim Periconi for jumping on, asking questions. Sean, as always, thank you for being on the call and the difference that you make in the work that you do with your clients and on these sort of issues. So thank you. And with that, we'll go ahead and close this call. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.